water here. One of the things that particularly coaches can look out on a field or a court or a track, and they'll be able to pick out something with the athletes that are out there based on how they get up, how they're moving. And I've heard it sitting in the bleachers, and I never fully had a grasp of it until I got Still, I started developing endurance. See, endurance is vitally important for you as a believer. For the athlete, so football, we look at the only person that needs to be able to run is maybe the wide receiver and the quarterback and the running back, right? That's what we look at. But having been in that kind of condition, I now understand that it doesn't matter who you are, you need to be able to run. Now, a lineman's not going to run the same speed that a running back's going to run. But he still has to have the lung capacity. He still has to have the ability because of one thing. And this came to me, it didn't come to me, somebody taught me. That when I was lifting, nobody ever taught me to lift. I just watched people get on there and they do it. And everybody did it wrong. Did you ever notice that? Why are you doing it wrong? And when I learned how to do it right, i.e. blowing out when I'm pushing up, some of you may not know this, but when you actually exhale, that's actually sending oxygen through your blood, which is going to your muscles and strengthening them right then. That's the importance of having endurance. You can be the biggest man on the field, but you get knocked down and you're like, well, I can bench press 500 pounds. So what? You're winded just pushing for 2 seconds against somebody because you don't have enough lung capacity. We are built with these two inflatable bags in our backs. We always think they're up here. You get pneumonia, trust me, you know where they're at. And so we never worry about the endurance for some people. When I ran, I always had this mindset. I'm a sprinter. I don't need to run distance. Anybody comprehend that? Boy, what a fool. And track was like, why are we running circles? I run straight lines. But we ran circles and circles and circles. Because without it, my legs aren't going to have the durability they're going to need. The military understands for their combat troops, they have to have lung capacity. Most of the time, the military is not looking for some guy who's 6'4", 300 pounds, got a neck this big around. They really don't want him. I had a sergeant that was just like that. If you see somebody like that, let me guarantee you where they work. They're at a desk. Because they don't have the capability to do what Beetle Bailey's out there doing. Right? The little guy. Because they don't have lung capacity. They spend all their time and energy building up their thighs, their legs, their neck, their shoulders. The only thing that stays the same on is their head size. The sergeant that was in my unit, he had custom uniforms made. Think about that for a second. I could just go buy my camis from cash sales. He had to go be tailor fitted. They had to make those uniforms for him. Camis weren't cheap anyhow. I mean, I kid you not, his thighs were the size of my waist back then. I had about a 26-inch waist. I wore a little boy's belt. It was the only place I could find one. I don't anymore. But you see, he didn't run. He had a special, we called them chits. It's a little piece of paper that if he couldn't run, he didn't have to. You're the biggest dude in the company and you're falling out. But yet we got the beanpole running circles around us. Because he didn't develop endurance. In the Bible, it talks about endurance. Let me get over here. In the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word endurance means the ability to withstand hardship or adversity, especially the ability to sustain a prolonged stressful effort or activity. Now, does it make sense why a lineman needs to have some endurance? Why a basketball player needs to have it? If your basketball players, I mean, yeah, it's a short court, but if they can't run it a couple times without being winded, they're not in shape. And I've seen that. But I get it. You have X amount of time to teach strategy, conditioning, and correction sometimes, and you can't get it all in. But that's a big factor in any sport or any activity. Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Okay, so this is capitalized in our Bibles. It says the Christ. Okay, it's not Jesus's last name. He was called the Christ because the word Christ means anointed one. He's the anointed one. Today we have many, many, many teachers. I'm the one. I'm the anointed one. I'm anointed. We're all anointed for something. But there's so many people leading people astray. Jim Jones, David Koresh, just to name a few. But then there's a few others. I'm anointed. How dare you? I dare. Because you're wrong. They're going to deceive people. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled. Anybody heard of a war lately? They're all around us. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
Yay!
Right? We got wars. We got all this stuff going on. It ain't over yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. We've had a ton of earthquakes this past year. Ohio has experienced more tornadoes than Tornado Alley. There are things happening all over. And yes, something has shifted. Planting seasons are different. Growing seasons, things are... My hostas, I got a bloom starting. It's not June yet. That's not supposed to happen. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Okay, so we're hated because we're Christians, okay? And there are brothers and sisters all over the world being delivered up to be killed. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. This is the body of Christ he's talking about. People are going to get offended because you told them the truth. It's not about money. It ain't about cars. It ain't about your influence. It's about your salvation. It's about other people. That's what the gospel was always about. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. So it was bad enough we had all that. Now we got false prophets. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. It's the law of love, ladies and gentlemen. Our love for each other, it grows cold because we get to focusing on ourselves and ourselves only. We don't think about what somebody else is going through. We just think, I'm uncomfortable, so I'm going to say something. I'm going to do something. I'm going to go drastic. We can't always do this. We don't understand. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Well, brother, don't you know that was talking about this side, blah, 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 blah. You know what? I'm seeing it right now. I'm going to call it as it is. This garbage is happening here and now. And this is our country. What about the European and Asian countries? The African countries? The word of God is so twisted in some of those churches in Africa. They got harems. That's for their preachers. It is not about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about control of people. But people love, that's why Jesus referred to us as sheep. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. We just go anywhere where they're offering to feed us, right? It's not stopping. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's poison ivy. If I eat that, I'm going to break out. We eat anything without putting it against the word of God. That's my problem. People that are teaching without this precious book. Well, I know God. How do you know God? I talk to him every morning. So do I. But he said, here I am. Right here. You really want to get to know God? Start looking in here. Reach out of what the Strong's said about the word endurance. Endures. It means to hold one's ground in conflict, bear up against adversity, hold out under stress, stand firm, persevere under pressure, wait calmly and courageously. It is not passive resignation to fate and mere patience, but the active, energetic resistance to defeat that allows calm and brave endurance. So many people want to stress, they just wig out. Something hits them. They run around with their hair on fire, right? Instead of saying, let me take a step back here, get my duckies, get them all backed up here. Let me see what's about to happen. You cannot just jump on something. I'd have never saw the storm that hit us yesterday because it was blue skies on both sides of that thing. But it ran right up over top of our house. Didn't do it much beyond Williamsport. I think Joe told me the road looked damp up here. So it was just a strip. You can't always tell what a storm's going to bring in your life. Sometimes you just got to be like Jesus, take a nap. Oh, but that's passive written. No, he just wasn't worried about it. Because he knew he had the power to deal with it. You have the same power. But sometimes we just need to learn to back off and see what God's going to do. God has taught me many things over the years, and one of them is I can't jump into my children's life every time something happens to them. I gotta take a step back, see what's going to happen. It's your life. Did I teach you well enough? Or am I so scared because I realize I didn't teach you anything? I wanted to be your buddy. We're not called to be our children's buddies. They can be our buddies when they're older. The Bible says to train them up when they are young. In everything, most of the message I've ever heard, that usually relates to spanking. That's not actually what that means at all. It means to train them. You want to know why your kid's bad at money? How do you spend it? Can't balance your checkbook? That's almost a thing of the past now anyhow. You don't take care of your cars and you wonder why your kid doesn't take care of their car. You're training them. You eat garbage all the time. What do you think your children are going to do? It didn't matter in my family what we didn't have. We always had pop. You can ask Angela. Oh, yeah. Well, then when Dad got to work, we really had pop. That's all we ever drank. It's all he ever drank. And up to boot camp and sometime in the military there, I drank more water. But after that, I drank lots of tea and lots of pop. And then 2001 rolled around, and a kidney stone decided, hello. And I realized dehydrating myself was a foolish thing. So I've had to break the habit. But we have to endure. That means we have to develop that patience. Again, it's not just, oh, I'm just going to roll with it. No, it's like, okay, here comes a wave. Got to figure it out. If you're in a boat, you ever been in one of them boats and they go up and down, and you're probably getting seasick now, because I am. You learn. Here it comes. But what are you going to do when the tsunami's coming? All you've been doing, I'm just going to take what it does. No, it's a lot easier if you can give with your knees. I think Richard and I were talking a couple weeks ago, and he's talking about going through those waves when they start coming in, the boat comes up and out, and it's, you know, we're like, oh, that's cool. Let me tell you what, you feel that to the top of your head. It's like jumping on concrete. It hurts. And it's like, that's not cool anymore. That's not fun. Mark chapter 4. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. He's talking about the plants that grew up with, this is the parable of the sower. Where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. One, I'm going to tell you how he does that. If you're thinking about anything else other than what I'm talking about right now, there you have it. You didn't hear the last 3 minutes. Because your mind is somewhere else instead of in the presence right here, right now, looking at the word of God. When they hear it, Satan comes. The enemy comes. Hey, what are you doing after church? Where are you going to eat? What are you going to do then? What are you going to do this afternoon? What are you going to do tomorrow? Why are you worrying about those things? First off, Jesus could come back right now. And then all that time you spent worrying about it. He takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These, likewise, are ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. People hear all kinds of great messages. I've heard Joyce Meyer teach some really great messages, simple things about how just to be a better person. And the only thing I hear from some of these people are, just shut up. All she tried to do was get you to be a better person. That's it. But they couldn't. Because all they wanted to hear was what they wanted to hear. See, we listen, we gather up to ourselves teachers who actually might somewhat agree with what we've already created in our own mind of what the Word of God means. It's nothing more than trying to get you to know who God the Father is. That's the entire Bible. The Israelites rejected it. God gave them a bunch of rules. Instead of let my Holy Spirit speak through you. Let my Holy Spirit talk to you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will show you things to come. But we don't want that. We want what lines up with our minds. So many times, though, when we're hearing the word, we're hearing the preaching. And it's amazing how many times, and I'm going to tell you right now, usually whenever I preach a message, I usually get 3 or 4 people during the week and say, hey, I'm glad you taught that. Because I just went through that. I got to walk that this week. Do you think God didn't know that? Bible says his ways are higher than our ways. He already knew. Second Timothy 2, chapter, let me get up here, I got back. 2 verse 3 says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This is Paul talking to a preacher. What kind of hardships? You know, we got some military in here. Well, you know, we can look at the pictures, see the videos. You know, we've had how many years of war? Too many. But yet, and I'm not here to, I'm not bad-mouthing anybody, I just want to show you something. The National Guard has to sleep in a parking garage. We went unglued. Why aren't they in the Ritz? Fast forward to the pictures of the troops in hand-dug holes the size of a grave, trying to sleep in the middle of a desert with scorpions, camel spiders, serpents. Oh, yeah, and 120-degree heat. And they're trying to sleep in a war zone. What hardships? You got to sleep in a garage? No, that's a hardship. Or how about the Navy taking hundreds or thousands of troops across in troop carriers, stacked? I think you're five high per section. You do not want to be the guy on the bottom. People get seasick. And stuff does roll downhill. That's a hardship. Those ships are not cruise ships. The only ships I've been on have been the older class, so I'm not up to date with today's living standards, but I can tell you the USS North Carolina, I felt too big. And those guys had it bad. A hardship is something that you get out of the comfort zone. I got to sleep with the snakes.
Yay!
Jungle survival training, they teach you how to kill and eat a cobra. Somebody got to catch that cobra first. They teach you how to make a hammock. You don't want to know why they teach you to make a hammock? Because snakes seek out heat on the ground so that they can curl up next to. So they teach you in the Philippines to make a hammock. And you sleep between the trees, take your chances with the bats and the spiders. And by bats, I mean big fruit bats that look like the flying monkeys from The Wizard of Oz. They're huge and they're ugly. So life gets a little bit uncomfortable, doesn't it? As a believer, yeah, we're going to get tested in our faith. We're going to have people challenge us for, oh, you're a Christian. All Christians are hypocrites. You're a moron. And I'm not going to say everybody's a moron because it's just you. You're the only moron left in the world. No. Hardships. Things happen. A friend of ours from a long time ago from church just put pictures on Facebook the other day. She was just so thankful. Her son was in a car accident. And it was pretty, I mean, he was bashed up pretty good, but he was okay. You know, hardships come. You had a call, hey, my dad's in the hospital. Lost part of his toes. That's a hardship. Couldn't walk, couldn't do stuff for a while. Hey, Pastor Hart, this is Brenda. Pat's in the hospital. He had a heart attack. What do you do? Do you lose your stuff? Why? Because we're trained as believers. That's what making disciples means. It means we make disciplined ones. And we have to discipline ourselves. You may not feel strong. At no point during boot camp did I ever feel strong. Until one day, they made me do something. That was easy. I gained 20 pounds. Most guys lost 20 pounds. My own parents didn't recognize me because I had muscle. I went in a bag of tendons and sinew. But I no longer felt as weak as I did when I began. Why? Because somebody disciplined me. Somebody trained me. Well, Pastor, I need a friend. I'm not your friend all the time. I may have to tell you, wake up. Smell the coffee. This is life. What are you doing about it? Well, I know what I want to do about it. Well, if it's running away, then that's the wrong answer. Because that is not endurance. Endurance is standing ready. Endurance is the guards on the wall. That no matter what time, we're ready. Eventually, even the strongest soldier needs to back away for R&R. You can only stay in combat so long. Our military still got morons running it because they keep them in for a year. Some units rotate in about every 6 months. But there are people that have been, they're over there for a full year. Well, they aren't the ones on patrol. You do realize that they're launching those RPGs over the walls of those forward bases. And those walls actually consist of canvas. The stress that they're under. Now, I have learned that they do take, they get them in there after a couple tours and whatever, they start pulling people out. I got to go on R&R in the Philippines. It was supposed to have been a good time. Turns out it was worse than staying at the barracks. We were supposed to have food. Well, they shut the base down. We didn't have food. We got stuck in a little hotel room. Had to fly in during a super typhoon. That's when the helicopter did the funny things for us. Looked back. Oh, yeah, we was in between paychecks, so only one person had any money. And we ate tuna, fish, sweet pickles, and Miracle Whip with crackers for 2 days. It's a wonder I will eat that anymore. And watch the Apple Dumpling Gang with Don Knotts and Tim Conway. But see, they had to get people out. If you don't take yourself out of a battle, you got to get through it. But when you get a break, it's called take a break. Jesus took breaks often. We were talking about this the other day. Many times you can read, he just disappeared. If you've been watching The Chosen, you know. Like, where's Jesus? I don't know. He got away from everybody. Why? Because he just prayed for 5,000 people. I'm going to tell you right now, praying for 50 people can take it out of you. Oh, and then you're expected to smile and keep marching and all happy. And you're like, I just need to sit down. I just need to get my wits about me. But see, you need out of other people's drama too. We're not designed to pick up everybody's garbage. One of the things that irritated me the most was picking up other people's cigarette butts. I don't smoke. Why am I picking up their cigarette butts, dirty pigs? That was the nice words we had for them. But we had to pick it up. If it didn't grow, it had to go. You're in the middle of the woods picking up cigarette butts. Picking up somebody else's problem. We do that a lot. That's another subject. There's something that happens when you're in stressful situations. It's called the fog of war. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. But let me explain to you what it is. It is circumstances surrounding a conflict that cause confusion, error, and stress, among other things. You have a bomb blow up next to you. You don't know what to do. Your head's ringing. You can't think straight. You may have just witnessed a guy that you grew up with vaporized. When the devil attacks, you can see what's going on over here. You can see what's going over here. And then something hits you real close and you get hit sideways. And you make a stupid decision. Oh, I gotta have a drink. That's the last type thing you need right then. But how many people do I know personally who have just gotta have a drink? They go out and get a drink. Dead end drive. No, they didn't. When you have stuff like that happening, you need to stop and pray. Ask God, what do I need to do? Folks, he will show you. He will take you. You've got to talk to him. So in combat, you have things such as smoke, explosions, yelling and screaming. Just watch the beginning of Saving Private Ryan. That'll give you a really good idea. But what about us? Family problems, financial problems, car problems, house problems, questioning your own faith. Does that strike a chord with anybody? Those are the things that always hit us. Whether you're believing for a child that's been injured, whether a family member just got a bad diagnosis. I was about to say diagnostics, but those are the things that throw us. And then we act irrationally and we do something totally, first off, out of our character. If you've been reading the Word of God, hopefully your character is conforming to the Word, not what somebody else says it should be. My Bible says I should be meek. And I have to talk about it because I think Joyce Meyer gave a really good definition of what meekness is. And she says, you know, meekness, it includes long suffering and so many other things. And by the way, the meek shall inherit the earth. But we forget that we're supposed to be the reflection of Christ. Did he stress out when he was talking to the one man whose servant's daughter was needing healed, right? While he's speaking, another person comes up and says, don't bother him. She's gone. Did you see Jesus lose his stuff? Oh, dear God, how did she die? Why did she die? He just told me. I said, she's just sleeping. Come on. How many of you would have reacted calmly? You'd have been like the others. What do you mean she's just asleep? She's dead. She's white as a ghost. She's cold. There's no pulse. And yet, Jesus put them all out of the room. Called her by name and says, Tammy, get up. Called her. She shook herself, woke up. Do you think that man ever doubted the power of God again? The reason he was there is he knew she was close to death. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand an evil day. Evil day is any day that the devil finds a way to come after you. I got a speeding ticket. I can't afford that speeding ticket. And then things just compile, right? Isn't that the way it goes? One little thing and it just goes. And all of a sudden, now that molehill is a mountain. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Not hearsay, not false doctrines, the truth. And if you're not reading your Bible, you're not getting the truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. See, we put on God's righteousness that protects us. This is where we were taught to shoot. Anybody that's ever done any training? Right here. Center mass. Because every vital organ is right here. And it's easier to hit. You don't think the devil doesn't know that? He knows where to hit you. Why do you think he came after Justin? Seriously, he knew where to hit me. He's tried to kill me several times, the devil. God says, I don't think so, dummy. He may have disobeyed, but you're not killing him. Breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The good news of peace. Put on your combat boots. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's something you hold out. You can use it to protect yourself. You can use it as a weapon. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That last one right there, ladies and gentlemen, is one of them we tend to forget. Why? Because we're taught not to get in our Bibles. Just believe what I say. Believe me now, or hear me later. I want you to believe me now. I don't want you to get in there and see that what I just told you is a bunch of garbage. I give you the scripture. I've told you, if you have something against what I said, bring me the scripture that proves I'm wrong. That's simple. Not heresy. Do you know the word heresy and hearsay? Did you ever notice? Because it's a contrary teaching to the Word of God. If you don't have scripture, you don't have jack. And you won't be able to stand against the devil if you don't have the word in your heart. That's why David said, your word I have hid in my heart that I won't sin against you. He actually used the word might not. Because he realized he was fallible. And he was going to make mistakes. And since we're on this side of his life, we know he made a few. But he hid the word of God so that he might not sin against God. Now, the word, that sword. I can't use that analogy of a sword. The only sword I've ever used was ceremonial. We weren't taught to fight with them. We were taught to make them look pretty, do fancy things with them. But they would have had swords similar to that. But one thing every combat troop is taught. When you're advancing, see, one thing it hit me earlier. Every troop is taught to advance. They never teach retreat. None of the branches. We're taught to keep advancing. I ain't saying we haven't had some that retreated. What I'm saying is we're not taught it. We're taught to keep moving towards the enemy. We may have to sidestep, but that's okay. But when you're advancing, guess what the enemy's doing? He's blowing you kisses, isn't he? No, he's shooting at you. Those fiery darts. We'll use bullets. He's got a machine gun and he's trying to get you. But every combat troop that knows that they're going to go in, they're taught certain things. One, in advancing, I'm up, they see me, I'm down. That quick. I'm up, they see me, I'm down. You don't give them a chance to identify your location. What do Christians want to do? We're Christian proud. Here I am. Shoot me. Nothing about the Word of God says that you got to go out and be stupid. And especially if you're trying to take the enemy down. He comes at you, you go at him. But the problem is we don't have enough endurance to attack back. We're the linemen. We're that 350-pound lineman that can bench press 500 pounds, but the 250-pound guy on the other side who runs 3 miles a day put me on my butt because I've already ran three plays and I'm out of wind. But you see, the military taught tactics for a reason. God used these things. So you advance. I'm up. They see me. I'm down. How do you get down? Think about this. You got all this armor on. Modern day thing. You got your Kevlar helmet. What, 5 pounds, Dave? Thereabout. Okay, now I know our era, we had the same flak jackets, so about 35 to 40. We'll go 40. It's a nice round number. So there's 45 pounds you're carrying. We haven't got to your ammo yet. We carried a minimum of 6 loaded magazines, 2 pounds apiece. There's another 12. And you would have actually had more. And then you would have strapped on those pretty little round things. They're called grenades. I remember the first time I threw one, I thought, that's a lot harder to do than I thought. You know, we watched John Wayne. That was the first thing we were warned against. Do not pull those pins with your teeth. You will be going to dental right afterwards. You pull the safety pin off. You got your spoon. You're ready to go. Once you let it go, once it's in your hand, you remember what kind of grip they told you to hold it with? Death grip. You drop it, you're dead. Well, can't you just milk it? You don't understand. They don't milk. You release the fuse. It's burning. You chuck it. They're harder to do, but you're carrying maybe 6 of those, 2 pounds apiece. We've upped your, you're almost in, you're knocking on 70 pounds, and you haven't got your water, the extra magazines that you thought you might need, your weapon, your bayonet, your K-bar. You're wearing combat boots that are, were designed by somebody who hates feet. It's the only thing I can figure. And now somebody's telling you, I'm up, they see me, I'm down. I got to run, I got to drop, and I got to get back up. Well, they have a technique for it. You drop to your knees, which is why everybody who's ever had to do this very often, they got bad knees. But you drop to your knees. It's called knees butt roll. You drop to your knees. The butt of your rifle hits the ground. Your weapon, the word, takes the brunt. And you roll. Why do you roll? So the enemy can't see where you just went. Because he was aiming at Johnny right here. But Johnny dropped out of the sight. And now he's over here. But I'm waiting for Johnny to pop up right where I saw him go down. But Johnny rolled. These tactics totally transfer over because people, Paul did it. All they had were the Roman stuff, and Paul didn't know Roman tactics, but he understood enough about the weaponry. You've got to use the word of God. Not only is it your weapon against the enemy, because when you jump back up, you should be ready to shoot. But see, we knees but roll when we hit the ground. The devil's shooting at us. Well, no, we got to keep running out straight across just so we can get shot. That's stupid. Paul didn't use military tactics for us to be stupid. He wanted us to understand we have to have the endurance. Now, again, going back to the endurance, can you imagine carrying 70 extra pounds minimum? And not being in shape. It kicks your butt when you're in shape. Because there's something you're lacking when you're just practicing. It's called adrenaline. But when you roll, you jump up. Well, I take that back. You don't jump up immediately. Because see, when you drop and roll, you take sight. Why do you take sight? Because your buddy's got to move. You're covering a brother. You find out the enemy's coming after Clint. Oh, the devil's coming after you. So you just kind of change your tactic a little bit and go, boom. But I'm going to pray for Clint right now. I'm going to use the word of God in Clint's life. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. All those who rise up against me shall fall. For I am a child of God. See, we don't want to use the word. We want to use the little cliches that people come up to sell their books, their tapes, their t-shirts. We've gotten away from the word. Most of us don't know what it really says. That's why I'm challenging. I'm not going back off of this. You need to be reading the word. The full thing. In the natural, a soldier uses their weapon to get back up. Because that's what you do. Once you drop, you put the butt of that weapon. Again, you're carrying another 70 pounds. And you got to get back up. And then use. What do you use to get back up, folks? The word. You use that word to get back up. To keep moving. To keep advancing. And when you need help, call. Send a message. If you can't get one of us, call somebody that's close to you that can pray. They don't have to pray right then. I do some of my best praying when I'm out by myself. Well, I need to hear it. Then you're one of those that needs to see a sign before you'll believe. Just know that if I said I prayed for you, I prayed for you. Well, did you spend an hour? Listen. If I'd have been diagnosed in high school, it would have been ADD. I get to the point, get there. Why are we still dancing around that? Shoot it. The devil wants nothing more. Oh, I forgot some. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, being watchful to this end and all perseverance and supplication to all the saints. Pray. And you can't pray the word of God if you don't know the word of God. God will act when he hears faith. I don't know the exact scriptures. Well, good. All you need to know is what you're trying to say. God's not a stickler for chapter and verse like we've been taught. She and I have been reading in Hebrews this week. The writer of Hebrews never once gave an actual reference. And one place it says this, and in another place it says that. Well, first off, Paul would have known exactly where they were spoken to keep people from thinking it was still Paul. It was somebody, I believe, who did not have the credentials that they needed for religious people to believe them, but they knew the word, and God qualified the called. Because Hebrews is honestly one of my favorite books to read. It encourages us in our faith. He looks back and he says, well, look at the hall of fame. Abraham, Noah. It had never rained like that. Noah built this gigantic cruise ship. People looked at him and said, you're nuts. He says, it's going to rain. What's rain, Noah? I don't know yet. We'll see. That's not my definition of rain. That's called a deluge. You need the word for the endurance. If you need help, corming up. I got shot, got nicked. Did it break anything bad? Okay. Keep moving. I'm not bleeding out. If we understood how to hold on, to stand fast, I love it. And having done all to stand. All right, let's stand. I remember the first time I went to a Petra concert and they had a song called Stand Up. Stand up, take a stand for Jesus. And I remember it's my first Petra concert. I'm like, oh yeah, I love that song. I love it. And when they start singing that song, I'm going to jump up because it's what it says to do. And watch everybody still sit there looking at me. And then, man, everybody was already on their feet before I even got my butt in gear. They already knew what to do. Everybody stood up. Stand, having therefore, putting on the whole armor of God. You got to get peace in your life. You've got to get truth. You've got to find God's righteousness. You are righteous through Christ. He doesn't want you keep going down the path that's going to destroy you. That's why we get away from sin. He wants you to put salvation, wrap your mind in the simplest concept of the Bible. Jesus Christ died for my salvation. That's the milk of the word. And then ultimately put your weapon. And if you don't have your weapons because you're not reading. Well, you know, I've been telling you for the last couple weeks, you don't have to read a whole chapter. Read a couple verses. Get in there, ask the Lord, what am I going to face today? Where do I need to go? Oh, hey. You might turn your Bible to say, rejoice, for the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Yes, thank you, Jesus. And then you might flip your Bible open and Jesus says, and many will be offended. I wish this were not so. Nuts. But know that he has encouraged you. He's equipped you through the word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, first off, Lord God, for the word. Father, for how it amplifies our lives. Father, how you strengthen our lives. Father, how you illuminate our lives. Father, I thank you right now that you're moving through each and every believer. You're illuminating the word to them. Father, help each and every one of them sit down 5 minutes and read what they can. Father, and help them then to digest it and comprehend what you were trying to say. Father, help us to rightly divide the word of truth as Paul told Timothy. Father, I thank you right now that you're moving in people's lives. Father, I bless all these people today. Lord God, I pray that you move in their lives, strengthen their hands, strengthen their minds. Father, strengthen their feet. Lord, give them courage, give them strength in the name of Jesus. Amen.